You looking forward to Christmas? Yeah, everybody looking forward to Christmas? Okay. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
Have you been busy getting ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Really sure?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask some questions. Okay, and I want to put your hand up if the answer is yes. Okay. Now, I don't want you to put your hand up if just mummy or daddy have done it. I want you to put your hand up if you have done this, okay? Okay, let's see the first question. Have you bought presents? Hands up, have you bought any presents? Have you bought mommy and daddy's present yet? I hope so. Right, okay, next one. Have you wrapped presents? Hands up, have you wrapped any presents? Less and less. Next one. Have you written Christmas cards? Oh, good number. That's getting better. Next one. Have you delivered your Christmas cards or posted them? Some. Okay, next up. Have you decorated the house? No, not mummy and daddy. Yes, some of you have. Very good. Let me see. Have we another one? Have you shopped for the food? Good man. Okay. Okay. Funny, it's boys put their hands up there. Okay, that's good. But the thing is, if we have to be honest, when we're young, we don't do a lot to get ready for Christmas. Other people do it for us. And the wonderful thing about the first Christmas is, while we did nothing to get ready for it, God did everything, and God got ready for Christmas. And we're going to think this morning how God got ready for Christmas. We see in the next picture using, first of all, his glorious angels. And over these next services, this morning, tonight, and over the next week, we're going to be thinking of how the angels came and spoke this morning to a man called Zechariah, spoke to Mary, spoke to Joseph, and spoke to the shepherds in order to get ready for Christmas. But I wonder, do you know anything about angels? Do you? Some of you know this past week were angels maybe in your nativity place. Well, let's see if you know any questions. Let's see. This next question. Do all angels have wings? Hands up if you think yes. Okay, let's see what the answer is. No. Yes, some of the angels in the Bible do have wings. We'll think about them in a minute or two. But indeed, a lot of the angels in the Bible, angels that came to people like Abraham, look just like a human being. They didn't have wings. So some have wings, some do not have wings. Let's see the next question. Are angels male or female? Are they like boys? Are they like girls? Or are they neither? Or both? Hands up, you think they're like boys? Hands up, you think they're like girls? Hands up, you think they're both? Hands up, you think they're neither? Oh, let's see what the answer is. In the Bible, all angels are male. The names for angels, the names are used. It could be male, could be me, female, could be neuter, was neither. Always in the Bible, angels are male. Okay. Is that funny? Hands up if you're an angel this past week in a nativity play. Okay, just two. Okay, a few more. And all girls' hands went up. And yet the Bible, all the angels were male. Okay, next question. Have you a guardian angel? Sometimes people think we might have a guardian angel. One special angel who we can see, who is there to look after us. Hands up, you think yes? You don't want to say yes now? Hands up, you think no? Hands up, you don't know. The answer is, we actually don't know. Only once is sort of a guardian angel mentioned in the Bible. Peter, when he was in prison, and he was released from prison, and he came knocking at the door, the people didn't believe it was Peter, and they said, it must be his angel. Now, that doesn't prove whether he did have a guardian angel or not. We actually don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But let's shoot on. Let's think of some of the... Oh, sorry, last one. Can you talk to angels? If you go into bookshops like Waterstones and shops like that, you'll see books like this, How to Talk with Your Angels. And boys and girls, let's see what it says. A very big no. And if people say to you they can talk to angels, or you see a book about trying to talk to angels, don't go anywhere near it. Because when people try to talk to angels, I think they end up talking to bad angels, to fallen angels. Let's think about some of the angels in the Bible. Let's shoot on some of the names of angels in the Bible. There was one that was earlier mentioned in one of the readings. Let's shoot on, say his name, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel, his name means God is my strength, to remind us that God is strong when we are weak. And he seems mainly to be God's messenger. The word angel just means messenger. And he was God's messenger telling people the news about Jesus coming into the world. He seems to be a very important angel, an archangel. The next angel, let's see. Now, we don't know what these are like, but this is maybe what Michael is like. There's an angel called Michael in the Bible. He's a warrior. He's the angel who fought against the devil and put the devil out of heaven. He is the angel who fights for God and for his people. The next angel, Lucifer, means the morning star. He was one of the brightest and best angels in heaven. But then he sinned against God. He's put out of heaven. He's called the devil. And he and his other fallen angels come and whisper lies in the ears of boys and girls and big people, saying, oh, don't you trust in Jesus. He's very, very sneaky. Some other names, let's see. The cherubim. These ones do have wings. We know that. When Adam and Eve were put out of the Garden of Eden, the cherubim blocked the way. When they built the temple, they had a very special box in the temple called the Ark, and cherubim of great wings were over the Ark, were made over the Ark. So the cherubim. Then we have the next one, the seraphim. The seraphim are the ones which lead to the praise of God. It was there that Isaiah saw in the temple crying, holy, holy, holy. We read in the Bible that in heaven, thousands upon thousands of angels lead the praise of God. You were a great choir this morning. You were really, really good. But can you imagine what a choir made up of thousands upon thousands of angels singing perfectly to God would be like? It would be absolutely amazing. And just the last thing about angels at this point. The Bible tells us, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Angels, we can't see them. I believe, boys and girls, here today in our service, there are angels. There are angels who are watching what we do. Angels are all around us. My minister at home, he tells a story about one time he went to step out on the road and something knocked him back. He doesn't see anything. And what happened? All of a sudden, a big bus came down the road. And if he had stepped on, he would have been killed. But something knocked him back. He thinks it was an angel. We don't see angels. They're God's servants who stay in the background. They don't want to be seen. They don't want to be praised. They want God to be praised. Who are here to help God's people. They love you. They care for you because you're special to God. And they're there to help us to worship God. And they're there to help us to learn about Jesus. We think of how they came and shared in the message. So, how does God get ready for Christmas? He uses his glorious angels. But God also, let's see our next picture. God uses also his struggling people. And here we have two old people called Zechariah and Elizabeth. Now, they were old and they had a problem. Let's see the next picture. Does anybody know what do Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist all have in common? These are some of the most important people in the Bible, and they'd all one thing in common. Okay, Johanna, what? No, no. Well, they're all part of Israel. It's a good answer. Any other ideas? They all love God. Yes? Yes. This would be good. They trusted in Jesus, yeah. Well, all of them had mummies who couldn't have children. Each of them, their mummies couldn't have children. And then what happened? Their mummies had children. God did the impossible. And this is true in the story. Zechariah and Elizabeth were really old. They couldn't have children. And then God was going to come and tell them something special is going to happen. God is showing us that, see, becoming a Christian, see, this work of Christmas, this work of salvation, it's not something we can do. We can't make ourselves into Christians. We can't save ourselves. It's something only God can do. And God can do the impossible. He can change you. He can change me. He can save us from our sin. Let's think about this couple again. Shoot on the next picture there. Zechariah was a priest. So he'd be like a minister. But as well as teaching God's word, he would have gone to the temple to offer sacrifices. And what happened was there were so many priests, they took it in turns going up the temple. So it was time for Zechariah and his division, they're called, to up the temple. But see what they looked like. Not like me at all. Next picture. And that's what they would have looked like priests. And they're getting ready to make offerings to the Lord. And when they came up to the temple, they pulled probably wee sticks or something to find who would be chosen to have the very special job of going into the temple, into the holy place in the temple. Nobody else could go in but the priests into the holy place. And even though all the priests didn't go there, so they chose who would go in. And Zechariah was chosen to go into this holy place in the temple. And he goes into this holy place, and we see in the next picture, he meets the angel Gabriel. And I'm sure he'd been terrified. Gabriel was a great angel. And Zechariah is then told that he's going to have a son, a very special son who would prepare the way for Jesus to come into this world, a son who would be filled with the Holy Spirit, a son who would be so special to God. But you know what? Zechariah didn't believe this. Next picture, Zechariah thinking, what? Can we have children? Elizabeth and I are really, really old. The idea that we could have children. But God says he can do the impossible. And Gabriel says to Zechariah, I am Gabriel who lives in the presence of God. In other words, Zechariah, do you think I'm going to tell you a bunch of lies? I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, God is going to do this amazing thing. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. But because you wouldn't believe me, you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born. Zechariah was stubborn. Are you ever stubborn? Truthfully? We are all a bit stubborn at times. And sometimes we can be really stubborn in not trusting in Jesus, in not believing God's word. And I hope this Christmas time, boys and girls, you're not stubborn and still chasing Jesus away. You're not stubborn and refusing to accept Jesus as Savior, as Lord. And I pray that for the boy, for the mums and dads and grannies and grandads as well. Let's not be stubborn, shutting Jesus out of our lives. We're speaking on Friday morning. There's a group of men that meet here on a Friday morning, and we have great chats. And these men have heard the good news of Jesus month after month after month after month. And we were talking about it, and one of them says, I'm sure you should get fed of us not coming to trust in Jesus. And this is what I said to them. In many ways, we see you like someone who has been bitten by a poisonous snake. And there's a wee bottle of antidote which you can take to stop you from dying. And you're saying, I'll take that sometime. I'll not rush to take it. I'll wait sometime. Boys and girls, if you were bitten by a poison snake and there's a wee bit of medicine that'll make you better, would you take it straight away? Oh, you would, wouldn't you? But why is it that the answer to our sin, who is Jesus, people say, oh, later, some other time. And that some other time for many never comes. So don't be stubborn like Zechariah. Don't refuse to believe that Jesus is your Savior that you need to trust in and take to be for yourself. Zechariah came out of the temple to see in the next picture. He couldn't speak. The people realized he had had a vision. He had met an angel. He then goes home. And we see in the next picture, Elizabeth, his wife, has a son. And when they're deciding to name the son, they thought, let's name him Zechariah. And they asked Zechariah what to name the son. What did Zechariah say? He couldn't speak, remember? And then he wrote down, his name is John, which was the name the angel had told him to call him. And when he wrote that down, he then could speak because it showed he believed in God. And the next picture, he showed this man, John, what he'd be like. Do you remember he dressed in camel hair? He lived on honey and wild locusts. He was a strange man. Jesus says he was the greatest man that ever lived. He prepared the way by telling people to come and repent of their sin, to turn from their sin, and to turn back to God. Do you see, boys and girls? Wasn't God busy? Through the angels and through people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, getting ready for Christmas. Now, please, don't leave all the work at Christmas time to Mummy and Daddy. You ask Mummy and Daddy how you can help coming up to Christmas time. Okay. And make sure you're buying Mummy and Daddy a lovely present, especially if you live in our house, okay? But remember this. God has done so much to make Christmas ready. And we have to respond to that. We need to trust in this Jesus. We're not to be like Zechariah, who is stubborn to believe. We'll say, yes, Jesus, you'll be my Savior. You'll be the Lord, the King of my life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your truth, and this story about the angels. And we thank you, Lord, for your angels. We don't see them. They're spirits that are around us. They don't have bodies like we have, but they're there caring for God's people, helping us to worship you. They're there to protect us. We thank you for them. And Lord, we do thank you also that how you use people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, people who weren't perfect, people with many problems, and yet you came and did the impossible through them. And dear Lord, I just pray that each of us here this morning would think about how we fit into the Christmas story. Will we fit into it among those who are saying no to Jesus? Or will we fit in and say yes to Jesus? I'm going to trust in you who died on the cross to be my Savior, to be my Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.